Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, ye farma gaye hai rasoole mukarram, ye farma gaye hai رسول مکرم. یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ, یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ, بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم, بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم. نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم, یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم. یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک, یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک, یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم, طہارت کا پرچم.
Five minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Well, it's that part of the morning once again, our bliss of marriage. Every Wednesday is between 11 to 12. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hati. Of course, our beloved engineer, Brother Bondface, we welcome him into the program as well. And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM and our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Today is the 19th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443, which is also the 24th of November, 2021. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program this morning. Ustad, welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafa'at jazakumullahu khairan.
Listener wants to know, Ustad, that dear Honorable Mufti Saab, being a mother of three kids, who has more rights to scream at the kids? Is it me or my husband? Anonymous Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should look at the Quran Sharif and see what the Quran Sharif teaches us. We should be teaching every child, every grandchild of ours, the following dua and supplication. Chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verse 24. Rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Ya Allah, you have mercy on them, my parents, my beloved father, my beloved mother. Kama rabbayani. Rabbayani, Almighty Allah said, as both of them made my tarbiyah, both of them did my nurturing, my training, my coaching, all these meanings will be acceptable. So, whilst I was a baby, an infant, a youngster, and a bare youth, and so forth. So, it shows it is a joint responsibility, and therefore the children are taught to make dua for both. And the key word there for your question will be Rabbayani. So it shows it is a joint responsibility. One thing I will change in that question is screaming, shouting at your children. That will become counterproductive, especially nowadays. Because you must remember that today children, they know more than the parents. In many instances, for example, social media, when it comes to the phones, the gadgets and so forth and so on. So they know how to play the father against the mother. They know how to play the mother against the father. So what you and your husband needs to do, the mother and father, husband, wife, both of you must have a meeting. What must be our joint strategy? So when both of you are on the same page, then your children cannot play one against the other. This is very common nowadays. The children will play one parent against the other parent. See, I'm giving you three du'as that you should be reading, and one key word you will find in all three verses, and that is Zurriya. See, Surah 25, verse 74. And now we're already reaching, remember, next week Wednesday will be the 1st of December already. So we're already going towards the end of November rapidly, then December, and then all hell breaks loose during the holidays where the children are. Most of the time, parents don't know. They can't monitor every day and every night and every hour. So me and you, as seniors, as parents, as responsible people, we should be reading the following three supplications and du'as, all enshrined, mentioned in the Noble Quran. Surah 25, verse 74. Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. O beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and children, grandchildren, all will come in the progeny who are the coolness of the eyes. Husband looks at wife, wife looks at husband, parents look at children, children look at parents, vice versa, whatever. So everybody is engrossed, engaged, fi ta'atillah, in the obedience of Almighty Allah. That is qurrata a'yun, anko ki tandak, the coolness of the eyes. Second one, Surah 46, verse 15. Surah 46 is there in the beginning of the 26 Jews, 26 Supara. And that is Surah chapter 46, verse 15, 1-5. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. See, the word dhurriya came again. And that is, O beloved Allah, that bring about reform. Goodness, O Allah, in my progeny, in my children. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. So they not pious, you bring them in the right path, make them pious, bring about reform. So multiple meanings there. Then today's lesson, you must listen between 1:30 and 2, the tafsir of the Noble Quran. You will find the explanation in detail. Surah 14, chapter Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14 and verse 40. Rabbi ij'alni muqim as-salati wa min dhurriyati. O Allah, make me from those people who establish the salat. If you don't read salat properly, not just going through the motions, proper salat, wa min dhurriyati, and we encourage others to read salat. My children, progeny, must do the same. Again, the word dhurriya came. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Ya Allah, you accept my supplication. These are the three powerful du'as every parent should by heart memorize and read excessively. Surah 25, verse 74. Surah 46, verse 15. And Surah chapter 14 and verse 40. Everything then will work smooth. But remember, parents, you must have a joint strategy. Then only things will be effective.
So, Ustad, do parents have rights over their daughters once they are married? Anonymous, Ustad.
100%. Remember that the rights of parents can never ever go away. But we must know whose rights are more important. The hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna a'dama an-nasi haqqan al-rajul." When the male gets married, so I'm not married and I get married. Example, obviously, I'm giving now. So I get married. So now I have my parents, I have my wife, and so forth. So who must I fulfill the rights most? Inna a'dama an-nasi haqqan al-rajul ummuhu. So even after my marriage, my mother still got greater rights over me compared to my wife and others. So see, that is what Islam teaches us. So daytime for your parents and nighttime for your wife and your children. وَإِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ And the person who has the greatest rights over the female, the lady, after she gets married, زَوْجُهَا. So you, my sister, my daughter, remember that your husband has greater rights over you than even your biological parents. You can't be saying every week, take me home, and all that to my parents, please. No. Now your home is where you are living with your husband. And add one other sentence, the old people, they didn't know TikTok and all these funny things, but they had morals, they had wisdom, they had the fear of Allah, they had the love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would tell Betty, oh daughter, now you are married to ABC family, so you must, your janaza must also come out from that house there. So that is how they used to build the society, and today we just break it, remember, because there's one argument take place, yeah, come, I'll pick you up. So all this we need to understand, that the husband has greater rights over the parents after the marriage.
So Ustad, what should be done if one siblings and mother treats one badly? This is from Welcome Ustad.
Remember, if the parents or the siblings treat you badly, then anything in life, we must analyze the situation. But why is my own mother treating me badly? Why is my father also treating me badly? Why are my siblings treating me badly? Maybe I did something wrong to them. For example, that in this case they speak of mother and children, so siblings. So maybe when the father passed away, I took away certain things and usurped their rights. So therefore, they all upset with me. Or secondly, that remember that I have arguments where there's no arguments. I keep on fighting with them and so forth. So you very, very must remember, a person who doesn't like peace, you like to fight and so forth without reason. And nothing to do with Sharia. If it's with Sharia, then it's different reason. All for petty worldly things. Third one, maybe you, that your tongue you're using too much and causing harm. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, used to wear a ring. On that ring was engraved, Jirmuhu Swagir wa Jurmuhu Kabir. The size of the tongue is small, the crime it commits is big. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. A hadith in Mishkat Sharif, when you believe in Almighty Allah and the last day, then remember, either you speak good things or you keep quiet. Silence, you observe. Silence is golden, as they say. And Quran Kareem states, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak to people in a polite, courteous manner. So look at yourself and then you will find the answer, that why they are reacting like that. You can't have a mother speaking to you roughly and so forth. There must be something that happened that triggered all this. And then to add to that, your siblings also are speaking to you like that. So you need to look within yourself. Look at this beautiful hadith in Bulughul Maram, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Tuba linnasi, tuba man shagalahu aibuhu an uyubin nas. Tuba jannat al-firdaus for that person. Jannat for that person, man shagalahu aibuhu. He's so busy looking at his own faults, he does not have time to look at the faults of others. So that is my advice to you, brother.
Listen to this one, Ustad. Someone sent a message, says, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, Mufti Saab? Do you know anyone that can help become life partner to a Pakistani man? His work permitted expired. Must be Indian. Ustad, anonymous.
Remember, so you, the Pakistani, want to get married to a South African Indian lady, not because you want to get married to her, as you must remember your wife and so forth. You more interested in your papers, because you know if the police catch you, then they will arrest you, imprison you, or deport you, and tell you to go back to Pakistan. So JC niyat, where is your barakat? So your niyat also is upside down, and remember, tainted and polluted. You know the laws, so if you knew already 1 year ago, 6 months ago, that your visa will be expiring now, end of November, for example, or it expired already end of October, or will expire end of December. So now you went into panic mode and so forth. So why don't you just go to the Home Affairs or whoever other people in charge and try and sort things out there? Now you want to get married to the South African, and then automatically you will get rights to stay here and so forth and so on. So remember me, I will not advise any South African lady, Indian or whoever, to marry you, because your niyat, your intention is so tainted and polluted. See, Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Riyadu Salihin, these are all famous works of Hadith Sharif, of Hadith compilation. Each one, they're all three different authors. Each one of them, in the starting of their respective compilation, brought the Hadith, which every Muslim person knows we learned in primary madrasa, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that your actions will be judged according to your motive and intention. So once you get your documentation, you get your ID, you get your permanent residence, you get your ID, you get your passport, then you can just tell the lady, go fly, do my way or catch the highway, go fly a kite, you can tell her. Because now your maqsad, your purpose is finished already. So therefore, I'm being honest with you, I will not advise anybody to marry you. To marry bhai, agar English aapki samajh mein nahi aayi, to main kisi ko mashhoor نہیں دوں گا کہ وہ آپ کے ساتھ شادی کرے چونکہ اب آپ کے اغراض جو ہے وہ اغراض فاسدہ ہے وہ صحیح نیت نہیں گربری نیت ہے آپ کی تو اس وجہ سے آپ جا کر جو ہے وہ ہوم افیس میں یہاں جہاں کی بھی آپ کو کجانا ہو تو وہاں معاملہ صاف کر دیں کسی اور کی زندگی کو برباد کرنا یہ آپ کو زیب نہیں دیتا اور جائز نہیں ہے اسلام میں
I see the brother says here from Boxburg, Mufti Sahib, you the one always speaking highly about Taliban, and you the one always say women should not work. So what about the woman who went to, it says Kabul Education University, where the brother went to talk to women who support the new Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, Ustad?
Remember, my brother, I told you that we must salute the Taliban for defeating 48 countries. Show me one country, Muslim country, Arab country, that has the guts to do that. If you want to look for faults, you will find 100 faults. But then you turn blind to all their good they have done. So you must remember that now the latest news coming from there, they paid all the civil servants for the past 3 months, and the food supply is improving. They even admitted that they don't have hard currency to do import-export. Yesterday, Pakistan and them sent $28 million worth of food and assistance and all these type of things. So I'm telling you, compare Taliban to any Muslim country. Compare Taliban to any Arab country. And then you will see they much, much better Muslims and the system they are running. And show me one country in the past century that defeated 48 kuffar countries, coalitions and so forth, there to run with their tails between the legs. You yourself, you will see a water pistol, you will run away and so forth. So remember that. We say that ladies must stay at home, or they must study via correspondence and so forth. But if they got, you must remember, a university or whatever, college or what have you, and there you must remember that they have female lecturers only or so forth, no men. So Islamically also that will be fine. But we know today is not like that, so we will say best for them is they must study via correspondence. It's not Taliban Quran who brought the university up. It was there already, but these ladies themselves, I saw what you are talking about, that the interview and so forth. So you must remember that what they are saying, that we prefer the Taliban government to all these shaitans who came before. So Ashraf Ghani and all of them, they all showed their true colors. They took millions of dollars and they ran away. They thought America will save them. Before that, they thought Russia will save them. Before that, they thought the British will save them. Nobody can save you against true Muslims. So the Afghans, you must remember, defeated the British. They defeated the Russians. They defeated the Americans and their coalition. All that you're not looking, you're looking at the Dajjal with one eye. Let me see how many mistakes they're doing, how many wrong they're doing, and all the good they do, you're blind to that. So Allah give you hidayat, brother.
Somebody says, Ya Ustaz, that dear Mufti Sahib, my wife, she dresses very, very smart, but other people always complimenting how smart she is, Ustaz. Are they complimenting her clothes or her intelligence? Anonymous brother, Ustaz.
My brother, when your wife is in at home, your house, you are there, your husband is there, the lady and her husband, your children are there and so forth, your parents are there, and then she dresses smartly, attractively, all that is not only good, is desirable for her to do so. And when she goes out, then you, oh husband, then no sense speaking about other people. First you have to address the issue yourself. So you and your wife today, this afternoon, this evening, make note of what I'm telling you now. Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is commanding all the ladies, Ya Ayyuha Nabi, O Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Kulli Azwajik, you tell your honorable wives, that is your spouses, Wa Banatik, your respected and honorable daughters, Wa Nisa il mu'minin, and the believing men, they are women. So my wife, my mother, my daughter, my sister, my niece. Examples obviously I'm giving. Yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihin. They must wear their clothing, and above that clothing, they must wear the jilbab, another set of clothes. And that will be the outer garment, so that they don't expose their beauty to all and sundry. So that is how the lady is compulsory. That is Surah 33, verse 59. Surah 24, verse 31. Surah chapter 24, Surah Nur. The same Surah chapter, our mother, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur. Go and teach your females, your daughters, sisters, mothers, wives, all of them, Surah Nur, chapter 24. There are so many issues related to the females and social issues, family issues. So there Quran Sharif commands the ladies, wal yadribna bikhumurihinna ala juyubihin, that on their garments they must wear another garment covering their bosom, their breast, their chest, all these type of things. And Quran Karim warns them, wala yubadina zinatahun, and you cannot expose your beauty except to your mahram, to your husband, and to your maharim, for example, your father, your brother, your nephew, and so forth and so on. So this is clear-cut Quran, nas-e-qat'i, what we call divine text. Remember that Surah 24, verse 31. So that is what you must understand. Once she practices on that, and you must show her chapter 33, verse 59, Surah 24, verse 31, and she implements all that, then all these compliments and all that will fall away automatically. But our women, 90% of the time, in their homes, they dress shabbily. They're running around with their nighty and running around with their hair unkempt, you know, not properly combed also, and doesn't. But when they go out, then they want to posh up and doll up and so forth. So then I tabo hari lage. You see? Then she looks very smart and attractive. So, and then they put perfume, and then there's no hijab, no niqab, nothing. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَى, when a woman emerges and leaves her home, وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَى, and she applied the perfume and makeup and all that, فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and she passes the man will turn around, see her and all that, pass compliments, فَهِيَ زَانِيَى. Nabi alayhi salam said, this is Nabi alayhi salam's words, that she is like an adulteress. Remember that the word in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. So therefore we need to educate our daughters, our wives, our sisters, everybody.
I see there's a sister here from Azadwal who starts saying that, why is Mufti Sab so strict when it comes to our sisters or when it comes to women? If Mufti Sab had a daughter, would Mufti Sab also be so strict with her? Please make me mark, Mufti Sab. Don't feel bad. Ustaz.
Nothing to feel bad. We don't say anything from our own side. Tell me, yeah, one thing I said is my, I'm telling you. Everything I'm telling you, I'm substantiating from Quran Sharif, from Sunnah Mubarakah. I don't have a son, I don't have a daughter, but I have a wife. So you must remember, Alhamdulillah. And we don't say we are perfect, but we try and practice on the Sharia and so forth. The problem today, you Beti, daughter, Azadwal, I'm not saying that everybody in Azadwal, but I'm playing with the words. The Muslims of today, not only Azadwal, everywhere in the world, and especially the woman, that they want to become Azad. You understand what the meaning of Azad? Azad means they want freedom. But whose freedom? What the West tells them. So your name is Maryam, but your thought process is just like that of the Kuffar. Remember, like Mary. The name is Bilal, but Bilal's thought process is just like Bali. That's the big problem we are facing. Why? Because day and night, 80%, 90% of the Ummah, they busy with the TV, they busy with the movies, they busy with their cell phones, and so forth and so on. So what you see will shape your own destiny. You want to now think like them, behave like them, and carry on like them. So that is where the problem is. What we are telling you, sister, what Quran Sharif is telling you, what Sunnah Mubarakah is telling you, is the fitrah. I don't know your age, but my guess is you are around 18, 20. So therefore, you caught up in this identity crisis. But you must remember that, go ask your mother, grandmother, nani, daddy, if they're alive, and so forth. What we are saying, they will tell you they used to practice on that naturally, because deen of Islam is fitrah, the natural system for human being. But today, deen seems to be so difficult to use your word and strict and so forth. Why? Because we are bombarded by the Western culture, and then you will get the crooked Maulvis and people and so forth. They'll say, no, this also is jaiz, this also is jaiz, because he wants his wife or daughter, like you said, they must do it. So how can you say, tell the people it's not permissible, when he himself or his wife or daughter or children are going to do it? That's the problem, sister. Remember, there's no problem with the Sharia. The problem is with us. Our iman has become so weak. Our thought process, remember, has become such that we think, like the Muslim men, they will tell you, how can I do a business if I'm not involved in interest? So that is now drummed in their brains. We say, leave interest totally and Allah will give you barakah. So that is very difficult for the person to understand. Then he'll tell you, you're very strict. So you need to understand, sister, yu'minuna bil ghayb. We have to believe in the unseen and not yu'minuna bil jayb. Believe in the money. That is where all the problem comes today, because the money is sweeter than the honey.
I see the sister says, you guessed it right, Ustad, about the age. But she says, yeah, remember, at-taqwa ha-huna, Ustad.
Yeah, at-taqwa ha-huna don't mean that taqwa is in the heart and outside you do all upside down things. You forgot the ayat? Wadharu zahir al-ithmi wa batina. That ayat you forgot. You know, sister, you know what you call that? Selective amnesia. You must remember that word there. It's a good word to remember. You're still very naive, you're young, tomorrow you will get married, so you will use this word for your children and so forth as well. So Almighty Allah states, you must shun, you must leave Zahir al-Ismi wa Batina, all the vices, externally and internally. So you can't say At-Taqwa Ha-Huna, and then you don't dress properly, you don't read Salat properly, Black Friday comes, you then busy there with a Black Friday sale, then Christmas comes, New Year comes, we say, let us get a little bit busy here, Razi Rahe Rahman Bi, Khush Rahe Shaitan Bi. So no, I'm pleasing Allah, but I please Shaitan also a little bit. So Islam rejects all that. So sister, Surah 6, Surah An'am, and verse number 120. So that is what Quran is telling us clearly.
Let's go overseas, Ustad. What happens when the father does not take any responsibility for the children? Mother took care of the two disabled children, and now they both passed away. She did everything for the children. She even gave ghusl to the two boys when they passed away. She has two other boys, Muftisab, and now the husband has gone away to another country and got married there. He has not given her divorce. He has just left her like that. The question is, now what happens, Ustad? Will the two boys who passed away in infancy intercede for the father too, Ustad?
Remember that the father has shirked his responsibility, because what happened when you gave birth to one after the other, to two boys or one boy, one girl or both girls, whatever it is, so that he felt very upset, Allah forbid with Allah. And he said, now why must my children be abnormal and physically challenged and disabled, call whatever you want to and so forth. So his ta'alluq with Allah he already forgot, conveniently for him. And then he said, you do what you want to and I'm not interested. So these children will intercede for you as far as he goes, that we can't pass fatwa, but he is skating on very thin ice. Whether he's got iman or not, only Almighty Allah knows. But his Islam is gone very, very weak. A person who doesn't bother about his children who are infants, although they are disabled, he's not bothered about you. And he said, best thing, let me leave this country, Australia, go to New Zealand. Leave New Zealand, go to Fiji. Leave Fiji and let me go now to Hong Kong. So wherever he went to, and then he left you in a lurch and said, you go and do your own thing. So you must go to your local ulama and apply for a fasakh. You must apply for annulment of marriage. From A to Z, whatever he did, all is haram. When you got married, he looked after you, enjoyed himself with you. And then the turning point was, when you gave birth, first one, disabled child. Things got from bad to worse, second child, again disabled. He said, enough is enough. From that time, he's not interested in you. The baby's passed away. You gave ghusl, all that is fine. They were infants. And you must remember, they will intercede for you, inshallah. And for him, Allah alone knows whether they will intercede for him or not, because he shirked all his responsibilities. And whether he's got Islam or not, that also only Allah knows. And then he dumps you and he goes to another country and gets married there. He said, you know what? That Allah Ta'ala has not been fair to me. Allah forbid. To make statements like this, which seems to be what he's thinking. So remember, will make a person go out of the fold of Islam. Life is a test, remember that. I can pose the question, Ya Allah, million, billion people got children, why I don't have children? But we don't do that. Why? Once you say Muslim, Islam, we submit, we surrender ourselves to Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, lovingly, willingly, sincerely. And it is, and remember, one of the articles of faith. So this is an article of faith. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good, bad, happy, sad, all comes from Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala puts us through test and trial through different ways. وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah gives a person everything almost. And then that's a test. Is he going to make shukr? shukr and be grateful. وَبَلُوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. And then with difficult things, meaning that there's sickness, there's disability, there's debts, and one problem, will that person make sabr? Will he pass the test? لَأَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. They both have to return to the deen of Almighty Allah, Allah's mercy, and the way, the method shown to us by Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you, sister, immediately go to your local ulama, whichever country you are in, and use the term fasakh, and tell them you want annulment of your marriage, and you got sufficient grounds for that, and there should be no problem, and they should not be delaying and procrastinating regarding that issue.
Listen to this one, Ustad. Assalamu alaikum, dear respected Mufti Sab. I would have wished I was your daughter. I could have helped a lot of ladies in educating our mothers and sisters in Islam. Alhamdulillah, Almighty Allah has really blessed Mufti Sab and all at Markaz Sahaba. Ustad.
Remember that whatever Allah Ta'ala does is always the best. You see, among Sahaba, who are we? We are non-enters, we're nothing. We're sinners and transgressors. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, no children. Where she had children. But see how she dedicated her life to deen of Islam. Today when we want to study ahadith and so forth, so one side, min al-rijal, the man, we go to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, 5,374 ahadith through the different chains of transmission. When we go to the Nisa, the female, Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala ana, 2,210 ahadith. When Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha passes away, then the greatest Sheikha al-Hadith, her janaza salat is performed by the greatest Sheikhul Hadith. Understand this? So remember, Sayyida Aisha passes away before Sayyida Abu Huraira, all this in Medina, and Sayyida Abu Huraira performs her salatul janaza. Sayyida Bilal radiallahu anha, the African muazzin, Minister of Finance, no children. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, no children. Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi, nawwarallahu marqadahu, no children. So like that, you will find great people. Allah did not give them children. I always tell my wife, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We went to so many countries, all the continents of the world. Now COVID came, we're sitting quietly, you understand? Because now we're tired also. And it's a good excuse for us. Now we went here, finished, sit quietly. Local is lacquer, just sit quietly in South Africa. So all that are a bounty and favor. You being my daughter, does that, you are my daughter. So people ask me how many children. I say biological children, nothing. But I have thousands of spiritual children. All my students are my spiritual children. So some of them in life, they will make dua for us. So that is what we want, that we teach you what is Quran Sharif, what is the Sunnah Mubarakah, what Sahaba are saying. Any person in Voice of the Cape or anywhere else raises his ugly head and speaks one word against Sahaba, we ready to challenge them. You come and we will take you on. You see, we challenge them. Till now, nobody comes. It's very easy to hide behind the mic and say Shia, Sunni, Sabai, make them unity, brothers and this. You come and we challenge you live. Then see, Dansali Papa dance. So you must remember these type of things here. So these shaitans, Allah Ta'ala uses who he wants. They attack the Sahaba, curse the Sahaba, swear the Sahaba, and they want we must keep quiet. No, we can't keep quiet. So same thing with the masjid issue. So today we sent out a lot of things also. So and again, we place on record that we salute and thank our advocates, Hafiz advocates, senior counsel, Firoz Bouda, Hafizahullah, and my brother Zahid here, Umar San, mashallah, Advocate Abu Bakr Umar, he's also Hafiz, and the whole MLA, Muslim Lawyers Association. Imagine they took it up. They're telling the court, that, and the government made a mistake previously last year and so forth by closing the religious places, and it must not happen in future. But the Maulvis and the sheikhs and the imams, you know who I'm talking about, they went as friends of the court to close the masjid. They went friends of the court with the lesbians. So what you say of such people, I'm asking you. So you must remember, our job, our function is, we have to defend the deen and propagate the true deen without fear and favor. That is what. Now we got children, we got this. This one is sick and this one is crying, and there'll be no time to do all these type of things. You see, last week I was there by Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib, like today I will go. So I told him, Hazrat, next week I'm going to Cape Town and I'm going to speak on this topic, this topic, this topic. So just tell me what you say. So we prepare like that. That if they say this, we say this. If they say this, we say this. So that is how you go well armed, well prepared, and you beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that Allah must accept it and use us for the deen of Islam.
I see Buta Yahya from Cape Town. He says, Mufti Sahib, I see you speak quite well slang. Local as lekker, Ustad.
And the purposeful dance. The purposeful dance. Darien Fakhriyat me Buta Yahya. I come Kapstad too. Ainda, next Wednesday. I say Ainda. Ainda as Urdu. So yes, then Volgende Wednesday as on Kapstad, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So my brother Yahya, if you don't have our programs, all that, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Jummah, Friday night, Saturday morning, there's a Hif Jalsa. Then Saturday evening, I'll be there in Qasimul Ulum, Sunday morning there. So inshallah, many, many programs. So inshallah, we can come somewhere and we will meet you, inshallah, Buta Yahya. Allah make easy for everybody.
One more suggestion before we go for an ad break. Somebody says, how should a husband spend his time equally between two wives? Husband does not want to spend time equally. Weekend with wife two and weekdays with wife one. Wife one wants weekends also. Ustad.
So you must remember, all that is haram. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in Surah 4, verse number 3, has made it very clear. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا. If you fear you can't do justice, فَوَاحِدَ, then you must stick to your one wife only. Old is gold. Now you got two wives, three wives, four wives, and now one wife demands this. No, you don't listen to her. So you, my brother, you got two wives, and one wife is demanding that no, you must spend five nights by me, and by her you spend two nights. So obviously the other one will be cut up and say, where's the justice and so forth. And you, the husband, you fall for the trick. See the wa'id, the warning Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. Open Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Mishkat, all that. So you will find a hadith there. Man kanat lahu imratan. The person who has two wives, two is example, it can be three or four also. وَمَالَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُمَا. He favors one of them only. And now he spent 5-6 days with her, one day with the other one, and she's complaining obviously. So in a case like that, جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَشِقُّهُ سَاقِتِ. That person will come on the day of justice and the whole body will be bent one side. The whole world will know this person had 2, 3, 4 wives and he favored one over the other. So remember, daytime, you go this wife, that wife, all that, that's fine. Because daytime is for work, livelihood. We speak about justice at night. So you must make it one night, 1 week, 1 week. So whatever you'll agree on amicably, that's fine. But you, the first wife, or the second wife, you can't demand that 5 nights must be yours, and the 2 nights must be the other wife's. All that is haram, and the husband must not be so naive and such a fool to accede and accept your request. No, he must reject it totally. See, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, setting the precedent, setting the law for humanity and posterity. So he set the precedent. That he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1 night here, 1 night here, 1 night here. Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha, she was old. So she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I know how much you love Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Willingly, sincerely, I forfeit my night and you go spend 2 nights by Hazrat Aisha. So she did that on her own, not the husband, not Nabi alayhi salam imposing upon her, or in our context, husband imposing, this is not permissible. So remember that happened. Then what did Nabi alayhi salam do? To show the ummah, Ya Allah, one is what is within my ikhtiyar, my power, and one is what is beyond my power. You have 4 children, 5 children. You have a favorite child, pet child, and so forth. So one is your favorite, the apple of your eye. So that is something ghair ikhtiyari, but you must try your level best to be fair and just to all. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma la tu'akhidni fi ma la amliku bal tamlik. Ya Allah, don't take me to task for that which I cannot control, but you control it, you possess it. So to show things that are ghair ikhtiyari, out of your control, that is different. But remember what is in our power, there must be justice. So what you are doing, 5 nights here, 2 nights there, all of that, so all that is haram and not permissible.
Well, it's 10 minutes to 12 o'clock. I'm going to read 2 questions quickly. One says, yeah, Mufti Saab, I am proud to be a student of yours, and I will always be your student. This is from Newcastle. Somebody says, yeah, any good Arabic names, Mufti Saab, starting with the letter S, what meanings for a girl? And boy, Anonymous will start.
MashaAllah, what you must do, all of you who want names, don't make long, long stories. On my WhatsApp number, I'm repeating it twice, 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184. And those of you beyond the borders of South Africa, just 8 plus 27, then 71-888-1184. So you just write their names and I'll send it to you. So mashallah, we got 100 names of Sahaba male and 100 names of Sahabiyat female. So in there, then you can choose whichever name you like, and with the meanings and everything there. So mashallah, we will say, I sent it out so many times, so you must, maybe this afternoon I'll see if I get time, I'll send it out again to everybody. So in that way there, you choose good names. فَأَحْسِنُوا أَسْمَاءَكُمْ. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must choose good names, remember.
I see the sisters in Australia are proposing to you, start asking that why doesn't Mufti Saab leave the radio and come and teach at the girls institution, the girls madrasa. A lot of girls, they will benefit from Mufti Saab Ustad.
You benefit other ways also. So you must remember this type of things here. People ask me, you don't miss Newcastle, you were there 20 years. I said, when I was teaching in Newcastle, there was 200, 250, never more than 300 students. That's maximum. So remember, now we teach every day 100,000, 300,000, Allah alone knows how many thousand. So you listen in Australia, in America, yeah, there, wherever, Africa. So all hada min fadli rabbi, hada rahmatu min rabbi. But I always say, we could never do this work without going through Darulum. So the best way, when ulama, like next week I have to give a talk to the ulama, their advices. So I always say, the best way to learn is to teach. Remember that. See, you sisters, Allah Ta'ala increase your people's knowledge and everything.
Ameen.
You know me, I'm very weak and everything, but I made up my mind, you understand, whether it's jaiz, not jaiz, that's a separate issue. I'm telling you about myself. I made up my mind myself, I'll never get involved in a girl's madrasa. You understand? Because there's just too much fitna. You must remember that. That parda can be there, everything from the voices, you will know who's speaking and reading and whatever. And today you can see what is happening also. Now don't go towards my words and say that I said it's not permissible. So remember, for myself, I'm saying, because I'm weak, you must remember that I don't want to get. This is what I want, that I'll teach you everything. You stay in your house, you stay in your madrasa, you stay wherever you are, and we teach you, but no interaction with us in the sense that I can see you, you can see me, or you must remember all these kind of things here. In South Africa, how many girls' madrasas, they approach me, that I said, no, me, I can't. I just declined. I said, no need for istikhara, nothing. So even after I finished Darulum, Newcastle, so I said that no, I don't want to. So Allah gave us this. So Allah Ta'ala, further, we're not deserving of it. But the aim must be to educate the ummah.
Haq.
The one thing I learned, the Ummah today, 80%, 90% are ignorant. Remember that. We have to teach them the basics of Islam, and we have to teach them the beauty of Islam also. So that is why, so this, even now, see Cape Town. So when they were drawing up the program, they say ladies program. I say no ladies program. I say every masjid now, they got that Bilal receiver, decoder, does that, whatever. So they can listen to it in the comfort of their house and all that. What we must have ladies program and all. So all these things here, remember, best is we just have our lectures in the masjid and all. And whoever wants to listen can listen, finish and class. But for us, all the men can record it and let their wives listen. Today so many things you can do. Everybody got a cell phone. On the phone, you just record it. So that is what we do. But to get involved like that, for me, is too dangerous. Remember that. And I even told my wife, don't worry, I'll never get involved with this girl's madrasa story. You understood? So that is my personal thing, which I'm sharing with you.
Listen to this one, Ustaz. Subhanallah. I'm going to say it again. Subhanallah. Sister Cheryl, she says, why don't you tell them, sir, that we also need you, and we're learning from you. Subhanallah. Sister Cheryl, Ustaz, the Christian sister.
MashaAllah, Sister Cheryl. You see, that's the exact point I'm making. We sit here in the studio, we live, we don't know who's listening, and that one sentence can touch somebody's heart. Now take Sister Cheryl, she is a Christian lady. What work she's doing, I don't know. But she makes time that, no, I want to listen to this program because something is touching my heart. What this person is saying is, you know, going to be for my happiness. If she's married, her husband's happiness. If she's a mother, for her children's happiness. The message of Quran, the message of Sunnah, is not for Muslims. It's international. Hudal linnas is an international message for all times, all places, all circumstances. So therefore, thank you, my sister Cheryl, that we want to do that. I always tell the team 3-4 things. I say the morning program we do with Mona Arafat, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein, there we must focus more and more on the non-Muslims. Second one, our other programs, we must educate the Muslims and propagate to the non-Muslims. Now you can see it's happening in front of you. And third one, we ourselves must never get carried away. Always know our limitations and always beg Almighty Allah. Allahumma ij'alna minal maqbulin. Ya Allah, before we come to the studio, we read 2 rakah Salat, we give out some charity, we do this. Ya Allah, use us for the benefit of humanity. Use us to propagate your deen in the correct manner, that we don't become apologetic and we don't compromise on the deen of Islam. We must take the deen in its beauty and in its perfect form and propagate it to all. That is what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sahaba and commanded them. فَلْيُبَلِّغُ شَاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ. Those of you who are present here for Hajj pilgrimage, now you go to the different parts of the world and you go and propagate it. So that is how Islam came to us. Now our function is the same, that we have to take this deen of Islam and propagate it. If people are sincere, Allah will give them Islam also. Thank you once again, Sister Cheryl.
Mrs. Adrian says, don't forget her, Ustad.
Yes, we make dua for all of you. Don't worry. We, every day I make dua for all of you. Ya Allah, these people here are so interested in Islam. You are the only one who can melt their hearts and turn their hearts and let them embrace Islam. That's our dua. Our dua means supplication. That's our supplication to Almighty Allah daily, that we see that so many people have, they are searching for the truth. So if Allah Ta'ala uses us, that's our greatest joy. Allah can use millions, billions of other people. What special? We got nothing. So it's only the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Last question.
My husband drives a smart car, Ustad, but he says I should provide the home because I inherited from my father, Ustad.
Remember, Islamically, that is wrong thinking. Whether you are a millionaire or a billionaire, sister, every everything, the expenses is upon the husband, upon the father, meaning your children, the father, your husband must provide. So now he must provide the groceries, the food, the medication, the clothing, education, everything is upon him. Yes, you sister, on your own accord, without him making big eyes, and without him imposing upon you, and making you go under duress and so forth, then you want to spend on your house, you want to change the curtains, the carpets, you want to spend on your hubby, and it's good sometimes to do that, tahadu, tahabu, give gifts to one another, it will enhance the mahabba, the love, all will increase. Husband, wife, sometimes disagreement, فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدُّغَائِنِ. So it will remove the malice, the rancor, the hatred, misunderstanding. It's authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. But nobody got the right to impose it upon you, even if you're a millionaire or a billionaire. He can't tell you, you inherited so much, now you must spend on him or on the children. So all that is wrong thinking, and remember, he can never impose that upon you. Okay, quickly let me run through the lineup now. 12 o'clock news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam, and remember his message by Mohan Abdul Rahman Saluji, 105 to 130, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 71 to 76, 130 to 2, Surah Ibrahim, verses 33 to 38, and then 2 to 3, Madrasa on Mohan Zahid Khan, and thereafter will be 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:30 to 4, Surah Wad-Duha, and Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri, that's in Urdu, 4 to 5, Surah Jumu'ah, that is chapter 62, 11 verses, Mawlana Ridwan Gaji, the synopsis, 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30, the repeat of Surah Maryam's Tafsir, verses 71 to 76, 7:30 to 8 will be Maw Yunus Patel's advices, 8 to 9, Mashallah, Brother Shafaat Khan, in medical file, his special guest, Dr. Farooq Hafiji, they're discussing diabetes, 9 to 10, Inshallah, Sheikh Shu'aib Maida and Sheikh Mawlana Salman Kaji with Brother Shafaat Khan. And then 10 to 11 will be Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki, Rahimahullah. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Don't forget, today is Wednesday. So after Zohar, make special dua for us and the Ummah at large. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6. As-Safinatu ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.